And one thing I found out, we're only as sick as our secrets, and excuses keep us stuck. I was one of those people who use excuses like trees in the yard. That's why, that's my analogy. They're trees in the yard. I can always find something to hide behind so you can't see me. I can always find another tree to get behind. I get behind this one, and when you start walking this way, I'll go over here and get behind this tree. I have another excuse. I have another excuse and another excuse. And, you know, I would tell people, would say, hey, man, why don't you go to church? And I always had that song. I call it old song, I Don't Come Because. You know, I said, that's how the song, the name, that's how it starts off. The title of the song is, I Don't Come Because. I don't come because I don't have the right clothes. I don't come because they're all hypocrites in there. I don't come because I seen the pastor coming out of the bottle. You know, yeah, I mean, I've heard all these things over the years, and I've said some of these things over the years. Because there's a truth behind that. The truth was I didn't go because I didn't want to be accountable. And I didn't want to stop doing what I was doing. Plain and simple. But I wasn't man enough to be comfortable in what I was doing. See, because when you get comfortable in what you're doing and you know in your heart that you're doing right, something feels good inside. When you begin to feel good inside about what you're doing, you don't make excuses. You know, I go to work every day because I need to eat. The Bible says a man doesn't work, he should not eat. I go to work every day because I need to pay my rent. I go to work every day because I like to have the, I like driving the car that I drive. I like going to work every day because when I want to dress up, I want to be able to put on a nice outfit and go do things that I want to do. We have to be at work at 7 o'clock. I'm there at 6:30. I like that because I'm comfortable. I like my job, and I'm comfortable in what I'm doing, so there's nothing to hide behind. There's no shame, no guilt, or no nothing attached to that, no stigma attached to that, that would make me feel less than. So I enjoy doing it. And I look back at some of the strongest men in the Bible. Made excuses. See, we know the story about these men after the transformation, after the victory. We know the story. So we can say, oh, he was a great man. He was this. He had that. He would never. But I'm here to tell you that he did. Let's start with Moses. Let's start with Moses. When God called Moses to go to the children of Israel and set them free, what did Moses say? Why did he say that? Anybody know? That's what he said. He said, I can't speak. He's I'm mumble mouth, basically. You know, we call it mumble mouth today, but whatever they called it back then, that's what he was telling them. I can't speak. I'm mumble mouth. I don't know nothing. But so God had already called him to this mission. And listen, let me tell you something. Newsflash. God has called you to a mission. You may not understand it yet. But if you're sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, you have been called to a mission. And it's not like the God's mission sitting next to you. And it's not something maybe that you would have chosen on your own. And it's not going to be something that you're going to run into and say, hey, I can do that. I have no fear. And it's not going to be something you're going to be great at when you start. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to be indecisive. And all that comes with not trusting God at first. All that comes with leaning on my own understanding. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on my own understanding. But we tend to lean on our own understanding. And I've been in the ministry now 10 years. And God knows I've made some of the worst mistakes of my life in the ministry. I've done things I'm not proud of in the ministry, in the name of the ministry. But let's go back with Moses. He said that, and God said, hey, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send Aaron with you. He said, I'm going to send Aaron with you because I'm sick of you crying. I'm paraphrasing. So I'm sick of you crying. He said, I'm going to send Aaron with you, but I'm going to tell you what to do. And you're going to tell Aaron. He said, you are going to be as God to Aaron. It was Moses' call. But you look at Moses and all the great things he did. You know, that's the one That's one of them, but that's the biggest relationship in the Bible that I envy. God talked face to face with Moses. Can you imagine that? Now we pray and God deals with us. God speaks in our spirit and sometimes he shows up and does things with us. But can you imagine just sitting there kicking it with God like we're kicking it now? He spoke face to face with Aaron. I mean with Moses. In fact, when Miriam and Aaron, well, Miriam mostly was complaining about Moses. You know, say, aren't we all called? Aren't we all this? Aren't we all that? And she began to murmur and complain about Moses. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. So God called them out to the tent of meetings. Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. And the Bible says Moses was a humble man. And they went out to the tent of meetings to see what God was talking about. And God began to speak to Miriam first and telling and saying things to her about, didn't I? We deal, in other words, I'm paraphrasing again, we deal one way or another, we deal like this, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, yeah, but I speak to my servant Moses face to face. So what we got is nothing like that. And at that moment, he struck her with leprosy. He struck her with leprosy. Moses, being the humble man he is, began to pray for her. And he petitioned the Lord to take it from her. You know, we get bent out of shape when people do talk about us or people come against us. I'll tell you something, when you get called into the ministry, you haven't been ridiculed like you're going to get ridiculed in the ministry. And the hard part, newsflash, a lot of it's going to come from people who you always trusted. People who you always thought were your best friends. People who, your family members. I got a brother, I can't reach him for nothing in the world. Because in him, I'm still old Lyle. Still Lyle, the old crackhead. Still Lyle, the old thief. All the things that the accomplishments God put in my life, he can't see. For remember what we used to be. The word of God says, Jesus said he was unable to do many miracles in his hometown. He said he was astonished at their lack of faith. But anyway, when God calls you to do things like that, you get ridiculed by those people. You know, even, and I walk with a 10-point coalition. I told her this story a little while ago. I walk with a 10-point coalition as a team lead. Been there from the start, from day one. And we were walking the other night on the street, and car comes up and slams on the brakes. There's about 9 of us out there. We're sitting down, and my brother walks with us. He says, hey, man, something going on with that car right there. And see, me, just being like Moses. You know, and I don't mean to say that, but I'm different than I used to be. I'm more humble than I used to be. I'm from the streets. I ran with the black gangster disciples. You know, I was the first seed in prison. So I wasn't no punk. I wasn't no pushover. I was always ready. I was Action Jackson for problems. But when God comes in, something inside of you began to settle down. I began to settle down inside and not always ride on the edge, not always being nervous. Because greater is he in me that's in me than he that's in the world. See, because I understand the battle's not even mine today. And God has shown me some of those things through the things I've been through in the last 10 years. But anyway, then the car hits the brake, backs up. Then he turns, parks right beside where we're at. And I'm sitting down. And my brother, you know, my younger brother, he's coming along, but he's not quite where I'm at. He says, hey, man, we need to watch that car. He says, I'm telling you, Lyle, something going on in that car. And I said, man, he probably just recognized one of us. No big deal. That guy put his mask on. He jumped out the car. And he come out there, and I seen his eyes were real big. And he comes through the crowd. And he gets up to us and realizes it was one of the guys that works with us. Or usually he just got fired. And my brother spoke to him. Hey, that's so-and-so. And then the other guy worked with me. Hey, what's up? So I spoke to him. And that guy walked up on me and leaned on me and balled his fist up. He told me, he said, brother, you lied on me. You got me fired. Now I'm looking at him. Now as a team lead, I'm responsible. We had 4 women with us that night, including my little sister that walks with a 10-point. My little brother, he's not little, he's younger than me, he's about that big, you know, but he's younger than me. But anyway, and I got all these other people. So I began in my mind, for the first thought, I thought about defending myself. Now, and I'm not telling nobody to be a pansy and just sit around and get beat down. Because the word of God, you know, I just believe it. Because for one thing, I know I hadn't done nothing to this guy. I hadn't got him fired. In fact, I'm the team coordinator at my job site. And when he had done what he'd done, I wasn't at work that day, but they called me in the office the next day and told me he had threatened the guy and asked the guy outside. And I said, well, hey, let me talk to him. Let me work with him. Because this is what I do. This is my passion. This is my heart. I said, let me work with him a little bit. And they said, normally, Lyle, we would do that. He said, but he's done this to everybody he's worked with since we moved him from department to department. So that's the last straw. I knew he was going to get fired, but I can't go tell him. You know what I mean? So anyway, he came at me, balled up on me. And when I realized he was serious, I tried to stand up, and he pushed me. When he pushed me, I rocked back, and then I came up and knocked him off me, pushed him back. And then about that time, my brother and them started circling, the wagons started circling him. And I told him, I said, no, hold on, don't hit him. Don't hit him, because that's not what we come about. If you walk down the street and you see a bishop and a fool in the middle of the street fighting, how are you going to know the bishop from the fool? See, now, and I'm not saying there's never a time, because the word says there's a time for everything under the sun. So if you have to defend yourself, you do. But I just didn't believe that was the time for me. I just didn't believe this was the time for me, because one thing I began to understand, somebody has given this young man misinformation. So he is a victim as much as I am at this point. And it's hard to understand that when you think somebody's about to swing on you. But I just trusted God, man. And they pushed him back. I pushed him back. He jumped back. He reached in his pants like he's going to grab a gun. And my sister grabbed me and said, get it going, go in the middle. I said, no, you guys get out the way. And it's not that I'm no real brave guy. I just trust God. And I just believe when it's my time, it's just my time. I'm not looking to die. I'd like to live a long life. I want to see my grandbaby get married. But the thing is, if I'm doing the will of God and it's my time, then if I believe everything I've heard about heaven, then why am I afraid to go? But anyway, it subsided. He went his way. I grabbed my phone to call the police, and he shot out, took off running. The young man called me today. He got my number somewhere, and he called me. And he said, man, please forgive me. He said, I had misinformation, and I'm sorry. I'm very sorry now, and I'm going to tell you something. There were guys on the 10-point coalition that came by the house, had pistols. Said, look, man, we got a couple throwaways. We need to go find him. See, that gave me a chance to minister to those men, and not only that, but to show where I am and where they are in life. Because that would have been a solution for me 20 years ago. But God, there's no more excuses for me. I began to ask things. But when things come up, I begin to ask myself, before I get mad at you, before I say anything, before I confront you, before I act, I said, Lyle, you just might not be right in this. You just might not be right. You look at old Gideon, the frightened farmer. When God called him to go into battle, he said, oh, I can't go. He said, I'm the least in my tribe. My tribe, the least in Manasseh. You look at Jeremiah. He said, Lord, I can't go. He said, I'm just a child. God told him, don't you say you're a child if I tell you to go. He said, and then when you go, if you show fear in front of them, I'm going to let them tear you up. See, God has called us. I'm saying this. Well, I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to be too much longer. But God has called somebody in this room to something you don't understand, and you're in a training battle right now. What you're going through is fortifying the muscles that you never used before. If you never swim, and you begin to swim and start learning how to swim, you're going to catch cramps in your legs at night, right here in the back. You know how I know, because I did. You know, because I had never used those muscles. Swimming uses muscles that you have never used. When you're working for the Lord, you begin to use muscles of things that you've never used. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down the strongholds. You know why we are such resourceful people? How many times you go to prison and somebody snuck in some cigarettes or some weed or something, but nobody has a light? Don't you get it lit? I've seen guys break a pistol in half and take that pistol and stick in the wall socket and fire a shootout. And I thought to myself, who would have thought of that? You know what I mean? I'm not messing with it. I would have never even thought that you could do that. Yeah, I mean, how many people, well, I'm the Lord, but back in the day in the jail, you could, if you sat there and booty bump the toilet and get the water out, you could talk to the women in the other blocks. Who thought of that? I think who was the first guy that stuck their head in that toilet and hollered out? And how did some woman in another block know to stick her head in the toilet and talk back? I dated a woman that met in the toilet. but the way I'm saying, we're resourceful people. But we use excuses. Moses was standing with the Red Sea in front of him, Pharaoh's army at his back. And the people said, let's stone him. They wanted to kill Moses. They were hated Moses because they became afraid. They didn't know God like Moses knew God. They were ready to hurt him and kill him and lynch him and go back. Said, why don't we just kill him and go on back? Back to bondage. Back to the needle. Back to the bottle. Back to the pipe. Back to those gambling halls. Back to being the prostitutes. Back to being tricks. Back to the things that he took you out of. You want to go back when things begin to come against you. And he began to holler out to God. He said, Lord, you got to help me. And I can only imagine what God, in paraphrase, looked down at him. He said, my, this is you again, Moses? He said, didn't I tell you I've already won this fight? Didn't I tell you you were going to bring them out? So I didn't bring you this far to fail. Moses said, look, what can I do? I don't have nothing. I ain't got no guns. We don't have no weapons. What can I do? He said, what you got in your hand? He said, I don't got nothing but an old stick. God said, hold it up. Hold it up. He raised that stick, and you know the rest of the story. Somebody needed to start learning to hold your stick up. You may not have what Marvin has today. You may not have what the pastor has today. You may not have been where she's been today. Hold your stick up. God has given you everything you need to get to the next level. He's given you everything you need to be who you are called to be. But you've got to get up behind those excuses. You have to exhaust every reason. I was a dope fiend for 25 years. I had to exhaust every excuse to use. If I lose my job, I'm going to get high. When I turn 40, I'm going to get high. No! If I catch cancer, I'm going to get high. If my mother and father die, I'm going to get high. No, I had to exhaust them things, and some of that stuff happened to me. I turned 40. I turned 50. But I didn't use. I caught cancer. The doctor told me he's going to be a kick in the nuts. There are no kids here. I can say that. I tell you this. I said, what's that? He said, you probably got prostate cancer. I said, well, why you say that? He said, because your PSA is right here. 16. I said, well, what should it be? He said, 4. I said, well, what was the last time we checked? He said, 12. I said, why didn't you say something then? You know what I mean? But see, I couldn't get into that problem because we know why. We had passed that problem. Was he wrong? Yeah. Could I let that hold me hostage and keep me there? I had to get out of the problem and into the solution. So I went and got this biopsy. That's a story in itself. Little old doctor coming there. Got a nurse with him. Got this little gown on. And they tell me, turn over on this table. Now I look at the little tray. Because I'm already scared. They don't know it's sticking nothing in me. I'm looking at this tray. They got little instruments about that big around on the table.
Don't tell us too much.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you too much. Close your ears, you won't hear this. So I'm thinking, I'm okay with this. I got up on that table and he said, well, Mr. Counselor, would you face the wall? Yes, sir. You know, I've already checked out the scenery. I have this. I got up on the table and I heard bones cracking. That man must have went in his sock and got something about that big out of there. Pam, that's I just felt the need to tell that. I felt the need to tell that. Hey, now ask God to erase that from your memory if that bothers you. But no, what I'm saying is, but I went through and did what I had to do. I had to get out the problem. And look here, that was a problem for me. I told, oh, we got to stop. He said, wait, the lady tells me, breathe in your nose like your mom. I said, no, you better stop or we're going to have problems. And they said, we better put him to sleep. But so I found that I had cancer. For about 40 seconds, that bothered me. And I'm not making that up. About 40 seconds, I've talked tomorrow, for 40 seconds that bothered me. My girlfriend was sitting there, my older sister was sitting there. And I thought like this for a few minutes. But then I remembered. The God I serve brought me out of a 25-year crack addiction. I remember the God I serve when I got shot in the head on Lewis Street, Lewis and Francis years ago, when I never failed. I never left my feet. Other guy got shot in the leg. He never got up. He died. I remember the God I serve brought me through all those years in prison. I remember the God I serve was with me through all the things that I had been through. I said, Lord, either this is going to be just another testimony, or it's time to go home. And either way, was all right with me. And today, I'm cancer free. Have no cancer in my body. But you know what? When he told me that, I didn't use. I didn't drink. I didn't grab a cigarette. I didn't get high. I didn't quit my job. I didn't act a fool. Life happens to all of us. Life happens to all of us. But God has called you. And whatever you got, whatever you need to do what he's called you to do, he said, for whom he calls, he qualifies. You are going to have just what you need when you get there. And he said, whom I qualify, I justify, because somebody will say, how in the world can Andy go? Andy used to be a, how he going to go? Some of the same people who are your friends are calling themselves helping you. Some of the same people who came alongside of me to help me will give me a little something. Give me a suit or something every now and then. Or try to give me a little something. Soon as God elevated my life and I began to speak in the church, well, how he going to speak? He just got here. I've been here all these years. And one lady wouldn't even come. When it was my turn to speak, she would not come. Live next door to the church. That's a true story. Would not come out the door when it was my turn to speak. Because she wasn't trying to help me. What she needed people to see, Andy, was me helping you to make me look good. I need him to see me helping you so he can pat me on the back. That's what she needed. So we're not into it for that. Get away from the excuses. You may not be where you want to be. You may be sleeping in a half house tonight. You may be on someone's couch. You may be on roughshod going through some things, but that's not where you're going to stay. Thank God for every day that he feeds you. Thank God for raising you up and keep asking him, Lord, I'm here. I went through a lot of disappointments, but I didn't give up. And God has raised my life to a standard where I do the best to take the excuses out the yard. I love coming here because I love seeing somebody grow. I love the wife, and in turn, it encourages me. But we got to quit with the excuses. Well, I'm going to quit when. I'm going to stop then. I'm going to do this. I'm only going to use on Saturdays. I'm going to get high this last time because this is my wife's birthday. You know, I mean, all right, because we done did it all. I done did it all. You know, I'm only going to, you know what, I'm going to go out and do a little drinking and a little gambling. But you know what, I'm going to put this money in my pocket. I'm going to put some in my sock. How many times I've been to a dope house with money in every pocket? That only happens at the beginning of addiction. Because early on in addiction, you're going to lose your job anyway. So you're going to have money in every pocket. But early on, you're going to lose a job. That goes with getting high. Now I'm going to share this and I'm going to shut up. There's 64 things, and you might have heard this, goes with getting high. The first one is experimenting. The 64th thing is death. And in there, they're stealing from your mom. In there, they're selling your body. In there, they're breaking in places. You may not go through all of those. Lenny Bias, he didn't go through all of them. He went from 1 to 64. He got drafted with the Boston Celtics with that big contract. Didn't get to spend a nickel. Didn't get to play a game. Didn't make it to one practice. So we have to stop using excuses. You know, especially like me, I used to get out of prison. been clean 5, 6, 7 years, all the time out in prison, come right out on the street and need to get high the next day. Or need to get high that night. Why? Need to go to rehab. Rehab for what? I've been gone 7 years. I ain't smoked nothing in 7 years. Why I need to start? Well, you got to break the habit. What habit? I haven't smoked in 7 years. We got to quit making excuses. Well, if I don't get a job, I'm going to start selling dope. For what? Go back to prison? Why would you need a hair of the dog that bit you? If alcohol, drugs, anger, insecurities put you in prison, why do you want a hair of that dog? Why would I go back to that? Take this with you. God has called your life. Continue to walk it out. I don't know where it is. Some of you guys in this room are going to reach places and pinnacles that I could never reach. You're going to reach people that I could never touch. But you have to answer the call and quit making excuses. God bless you. Let's pray.